ॐ वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दोग्धा गोपालनन्दनः पार्थो वत्सः सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्।
इन् अवर् लास्ट् क्लास् वी डिस्कस्ड् भगवान् श्रीकृष्णस् टीचिङ्ग् of how to attain to that state of higher spiritual life called Brahmi Sthiti. A person who has realized that he is the Atman, he is God, how he behaves in this world. In that connection, the Lord is indicating to us a particular characteristic, whereby he says, whatever actions a man of God does, a realized soul does, a man who knows who he is, how does he do? He, first of all, doesn't think he is doing. He is not attached to any of the result because he has already attained the result of all actions, and whatever he does contributes to the welfare of the world. This was so beautifully brought out in this 23rd verse, Gata-sangasya muktasya jnana avasthita chetasaha yajnaya acharataha karma samagram pravilayate. Of one who is devoid of attachment, who is liberated, whose mind is established in knowledge, who acts for the sake of sacrifice, all his actions are completely dissolved. And whatever he does, it is called a sacrifice, a yajna. Those who are familiar with the episode of the life of Jesus Christ, it is written about Jesus. God has sent his own son as a sacrifice for uplifting the world. In what way do we understand this statement that God has sent him his son? We also have to understand in this context that God doesn't have any children. The whole world is manifestation of God. Jesus Christ is a very special manifestation of God, whom we worship as an incarnation of God. Literally speaking, he is telling, I have sent my son as a sacrifice. For what? For uplifting the whole world. The birth of Jesus, everything that he did, and even the way he passed away, it is called the greatest sacrifice in this world. In Sanskrit, this word sacrifice is aptly termed as yajna. This has certain characteristics that every sacrifice, first of all, the doer doesn't think he is doing. On the contrary, he thinks it is God who is doing. This is going to be elaborated in the next verse, 24th verse. Such a person is completely devoid of attachment. We have to understand clearly, only who has attained the highest, he can afford to be detached. Until we attain the infinite, whatever we do, there would be some amount of attachment. And he is liberated. That means he doesn't think he is the body-mind. He thinks he is God. He thinks he knows he is everything. Then his mind is constantly, without deviation, is centered in knowledge. What knowledge? That not only I am the Atman, I am the Brahman, but what people call, what ignorant people call, this world is also none other than Brahman. Brahman seen without any stain directly is experienced as Brahman. The same Brahman experienced through the prism of the mind is called world. whenever anyone looks at Brahman through the mirror of prism of mind, and mind is nothing but, as Shankaracharya aptly terms it as, nama, rupa and karma, name, form and utility, that is what we call jagat. Jagat without mind is Brahman. Brahman looked at with mind is called jagat. That is the state of knowledge a person who is realized he has continuously. And whatever actions, activities, that person achieves through the instrumentality of his body mind, that is called a sacrifice. And here is something very nice we have to understand. Sacrifice doesn't mean a person losing something valuable. It simply means whatever is done with love for the sake of God, without the idea that I am doing, it is God alone who is doing everything, through everything, for the sake of the world, for his own sake, in other words, that is called a sacrifice. And that is the goal we all have to achieve. And that was what I was earlier describing. Jesus Christ, he was a realized soul, he knows, I am the Atman, I am God. So whatever he did, even his very breath is a great offering to the divine. Mind you, he is not even doing a sacrifice for the sake of the world. In his eyes, nothing else exists excepting God. Even what he used to call his father is none other than God himself. This idea that each one of us, if we wish to attain the highest, if we wish to know who we really are, if we really want to become free, and if we want to have true self-knowledge, we also have to slowly do spiritual practice. All spiritual practices ultimately are called yajnas, and when we do with a particular idea that I am not doing, it is God who is doing, it is God who is the offering, it is God who is the instrument of doing, and whatever he is doing only for his own self in the form of the world. That is the goal, that is called achievement of the self-knowledge. This idea has been beautifully brought out in the 24th verse. Before we do that, we have to take some examples too of whether it is really possible in the life of anybody. When we look at the great incarnations of God, let us say, for example, Jesus Christ, Buddha, Rama, Krishna, Chaitanya, Ramakrishna, and every other incarnation, not only who was in the past, but who is going to come in the future too. They come and they live the life as a yajna. That's why Swami Vivekananda recognized it. And as we all know, he composed that most wonderful stotram, hymn. It is called Avatara Stotra. In that, he describes not Sri Ramakrishna, but every incarnation of God. That's why it is called Avatara Stotram, not Sri Ramakrishna Stotram. And when we examine that hymn, which is sung by millions of people all over the world, every single evening, we find there is not a single mention of the name Ramakrishna. But all the characteristics of all incarnations are there. So the particular sentence, line I am referring is, Pranarpana Jagata Tarana Krintana Kali Door. Pranarpana, their very life, their birth and their living, and even their death, it is all the greatest sacrifice. For what purpose? Not for their purpose, Jagata Tarana, for the sake of uplifting the world, for the sake of making the whole world realize that each soul is potentially divine, and bless them and inspire them and help them. Very interesting incident we can recollect. Sri Ramakrishna, just before his passing away, he put Swami Vivekananda, Narendranath, into a state of ecstasy, samadhi. And both of them merged themselves into samadhi. And when they came out, Narendranath found Sri Ramakrishna was shedding tears and said a very significant statement that, "O Naren, today by offering everything to you, I have become a fakir. So it should not bring into our minds negative connotations that Sri Ramakrishna was regretting. Sri Ramakrishna had lost everything. He was joyfully shedding tears. Now I will work through you. The purpose of this particular body and mind is finished. This body will not remain any longer. But this personality called Ramakrishna will enter into you, and from now onwards it will work through you, not only through your body, but even afterwards in the form of ideas." So Sri Ramakrishna is called Bhavamaya, an embodiment of ideas. Whenever we get inspiration, right understanding about life, it is because of Sri Ramakrishna's sacrifice. Swami Vivekananda knew that fact, he accepted it, and so he used to call himself, "I am his master's voice. I am a voice without a form." When this Swami Vivekananda went to America and addressed all the audience, and through that audience, all the people who attended, not only at that time, who is going to read his address later on for centuries together, they read, "Sisters and brothers of America." He is not mentioning only the people of America. Everyone, anyone who listens to that divine voice, he is a brother, he is a sister of Swami Vivekananda. And who is Swami Vivekananda? He was the Rishi. Who is a Rishi? A person who knows, "I am the Atman, I am not the body and mind." So Swami Vivekananda had as if given initiation to thousands of people and commanded them, "Now you propagate the same idea which I have given you. All of you are potentially divine. You convey that message to everybody, that anybody who listens to this message is also automatically inspired, initiated into that Mahamantra, what Advaita Vedanta calls Aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahman." Of course, just by listening, we don't realize it. But at least the seed has entered into our minds, and we have to work out, probably through many lives, to realize that final truth, that I am not body-mind, I am the Atman. Once we realize that truth, we also come to know that everything in this world is also nothing but manifestation of same God, same Brahman, but with name and form. And with this idea in the background, we will explore the next verse. This is a famous verse which millions of people, at least at the time of eating food, before eating food, they utter this, the highest truth, whether people understand it or not. The mantra is familiar to all of us. Brahmapanam Brahmahavihi Brahmanav Brahmanahutam Brahma eva tena gantavyam Brahma karma samadhina. Brahman is the oblation. Brahman is the clarified butter constituting the offerings. By Brahman is the oblation poured into the fire of Brahman. Brahman verily shall be reached by him who always sees Brahman in all actions. This word yajna is an ancient Vedic word. In ancient time, people used it to worship, and that worship was called yajna. In earlier days, we did not have things like temples, particular forms, names and forms of God, etc. They used it to worship special deities called Indra, Varuna, etc. And most often people used to light up a fire and certain natural things like ghee, etc., they used to offer into that fire. That's what they called yajna. Now, this word yajna, ancient word, has been completely transformed with expansive connotations by Bhagavan Krishna. Whenever a person had performed a yajna, we have to keep four things in mind. The person who is doing the yajna offering, the offering which is being put into a particular thing called fire, and the action that is being done, and also the result. The doer, the offering, and that unto which it is offered, and the action of offering, of course by implication the result. These five things are implied in every sacrifice, and by expansion these five things are also included. Whatever action we are able to do. Take a simple example that I am talking. I am the talker. You are the persons who are listening. My talking sincerely to the best of my ability is the offering. This action of talking is a sacrifice that is offered unto your intelligence, unto the fire of your intelligence, so that the result will be the passage of knowledge from one person to the other person. And if there is a result, a better understanding of life, that would be the result. If we expand this example, whatever action we do, there is a person who does, there is a person to whom it is done, there is an object, there is a subject, there is an action of offering, and there is an action unto which it is offered, and the result. So, Bhagavan Krishna is teaching us a great lesson. Whatever action we are doing through our body and mind, through our sense organs as well as thought, if we can attach this thing, what is it? God. Who is doing? Not me, but God. And to whom is it being done? To God in the form of the object. And what is the way to do it? The different sense organs with the help of prana, it is, the action is being done. And what is the purpose? There is a result to be achieved. And finally, the result is achieved. Everything is done by God, for God, through God, with God, for the purpose of achieving God. To make this point more clear, I'll give an example how we can really understand this shloka, this verse. Supposing you are sleeping and there you find yourself that a guest has come to your house. Then you cook some food and feed the guest. Take this example and don't forget it is a dream. So in the dream you are there, you are the doer. The guest that comes is the person whom you find hungry, a hungry object. Then what is the action you do? Cooking the food. And you offer that food to the guest. And the result is, the guest becomes satiated, satisfied, his hunger is removed. Now, when you are dreaming, you think you are different, the guest is different, the cooking is different, the food is different, and that person eating and satisfying himself is different. Upon waking up, you will see that your mind has become the doer, and your mind has become the food, your mind has become the guest, and you cooked and offered the food to your guest, which is your own mind, and you feel the satisfaction of the guest again through your mind. Everything is done by you. So upon waking up, just to make it a little bit funny, supposing that person who came to you is your neighbor, and the neighbor was very happy, you fed him nice food, you wake up, then you rush to the neighbor, say, "Hey, you ungrateful fellow, you did not render thanks to me." The fellow will be surprised. Why? Because he doesn't know whatever you have done. So, who was the person who fed you? Who was the food? Your own mind, your own thought. So, cooking was your own mind, and that person eating is also your own mind. And that person feeling satisfied is also your own mind. Everything is nothing but your own mind. If you can take this analogy and apply it, then it will be wonderful. We can understand the meaning of this verse better, that it is God really who is the doer. God is doing something to the world. God is doing something through the sense organs, and God is getting the action done, and the object is getting transformed, and the result also is coming. Everything from the beginning to the end, it is nothing but God. Now let us take some examples. Once, those who read the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna can easily understand this beautiful fact. One day, he gave a very beautiful talk. Then the audience were extra impressed that particular day. And one of them said, "Sir, today you spoke so beautifully." Immediately Sri Ramakrishna said, "No, I did not speak. It was my Divine Mother. I don't know anything. She is who spoke, and it is her knowledge, and she spoke, if at all she spoke through me, she spoke to whom? To herself, in other people. Not only she is working in me, through me, for me, but she is also talking to whom? To herself, in the form of the other people. From one point of view, she was feeling, I am the knowledgeable, wise person. From another point of view, she is thinking, I am an ignorant person. So the wise me is talking to the ignorant me, and as a result feeling that I am a very effective, inspiring person. So from the beginning to the end, it is nothing but God. And if you look at Holy Mother, if you ask her, Mother, you are so kind, you are so gracious, and you are extra compassionate to your children. You are feeding us not only physically, but even spiritually, morally, intellectually. She might reply, yes, you are my children, and it is my duty as a mother to speak. But she knows that she is the mother, she is the children, she is the knowledge, she is the act of offering, she is the fire unto which she is offering, and the result also he is enjoying, she only is enjoying. This also Swami Vivekananda, like if you say, did you uplift other people in America and other places? He says, no, I did not do it, but it was Sri Ramakrishna who did it through me. If you ask Sri Ramakrishna, he will say, no, I did not do it, it is my mother who had done it. This is how we have to understand. This is the very natural condition of people who know that they are Atman, they are Brahma. But what about people who are sincerely wishing to attain to that state? And that is where Bhagavan Krishna is telling us that we have to slowly practice whatever we are doing. Simple example I am giving. I am talking. What should I think? This is something wonderful. I am talking from the scripture called Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita doesn't belong to me. It belongs to Bhagavan Krishna. And I read it and I understood it. The ability for me to read is given by Bhagavan. The ability to understand also has been given by Bhagavan. How? Because Bhagavan Krishna himself says, when I am pleased with somebody's spiritual sadhana, buddhi yogam dadamyaham, I will enlighten his understanding. Every Hindu practically, daily, he prays to the divine, saying, Diyo yonaha prajodaya, give me, O Mother, O Lord, the right understanding. And we know that right understanding really comes from God himself. But from the highest viewpoint, everything is done by God, for God, unto God. That is the highest knowledge we have to aim. Every spiritual aspirant, by practicing this act of what is called Brahmarpanam. Brahmarpanam is take notice, is not confined only at the time of eating food. It is only an expansive, beautiful example. Now, people may wonder why this example is used only before food. Because there is a curious human nature. We may forget everything. But eating food is not something which we forget. At least before food, you remember whatever you do is done by God only. Now, we have to apply this truth, sadhana, to every activity. But let us start with one activity regularly, then expand it. You are reading, who is reading? God. What is reading? God. What is the knowledge? God. And what is the result? Becomes enlightened. So also, in another way, what for do? We have to expand this idea that seeing God everywhere to every activity that we do, slowly, slowly. I'll give another example. Most of us, we sit and do some japam. When we do japam, we have to understand who is doing really japam. A spiritual practitioner who has been inspired by God, by the grace of God, he wants to realize God. He is in fact jiva, none other than God. So his guru is also God. The teaching he gets, understands, is also God. He is repeating the name of God and he is offering the result of that japa ultimately to God, and he expects God's grace to enlighten him, ultimately give him that knowledge. You are none other than Brahman. This is how we have to expand. And when we examine, two factors we will take into consideration here today. A realized soul had attained to this state by practicing spiritual discipline. And what is that discipline? That he doeth the action and unto which he does, everything is done by God himself, and no credit comes to me because I myself belong to God. That is the first factor. Second factor is, a person doesn't become an enlightened soul in five minutes doing. Slowly, slowly, he starts with a simple idea and applies God to that particular activity and expands it into a second activity, third activity, and through his entire waking state to his entire dream state and through his entire deep sleep state, until there is no state which is not included by God. Such a person, slowly he says, whatever I do in the waking state, God is doing. Whatever I do in the dream state, God is doing. Whatever happens to me in the deep sleep state, God is doing. And when a person is capable of realizing that truth, I am not, but only God, that state is called Turiyavastha, or the highest fourth state. It is not really fourth, but it is the ground of all the three states. Two facts. Let us remember, a spiritual wise person, sage, has not become or fallen from the sky, but through gradual practice, he started seeing God only everywhere, until he knows without break that it is God who does everything. Every spiritual aspirant has to gradually extend this knowledge. Everything that he does, everything he enjoys, everything he suffers, every activity, every experience is really done by God, experienced by God. It is an offering to God. Everything is done for God, by God, in God, unto God. This is called Brahma Leela, or enjoying a Leela of God in everything. Such a person is really filled with eternal, infinite, indescribable bliss. Now, any activity can be turned into an yajna, a sacrifice, in the sense of the ability to see God in every activity. But for the sake of certain examples, Bhagavan Krishna gives us 12 examples of these kind of sacrifices. But the goal of all these sacrifices is not the actions by themselves, but to attain to this state of this Brahman. Let us recollect, this is the goal of all yajnas. What is it? That a person who understands Brahman is the oblation, Brahman is the clarified butter, Brahman is the oblation poured into the fire of Brahman, and Brahman verily shall be reached by him who always sees Brahman in every action. Brahmarpanam, Brahmavihi, Brahmatmau, Brahmanahutam. Such a person, tena, Brahma eva gantavyam. He reaches none other than Brahman. That means he knows, I am Brahman. Such a vision of seeing everything as Brahman is called Brahma Karma Samadhi. It is a samadhi, the knowledge. That is the goal of every type of sacrifice, and 12 such sacrifices have been specifically described. That should not give us an idea that there are only 12 varieties of sacrifices. There are as many varieties of activities. All activities can be a matter of this yajna, converting into yajna. Even suffering is an yajna. One of the Upanishads describes, if a person, means obviously spiritual aspirant, is suffering from fever and it is giving him pain, then he should consider it as a tapasya, as an austerity. Means, in other words, as a sacrifice to God. This suffering of mine is my spiritual sadhana. I offer it unto you. Ultimately, who is suffering? It is only God who is suffering. Funny, but very real. Let me quote here an example. Sri Ramakrishna, as we all know, was suffering from a very painful cancerous disease, throat disease. He was even unable to eat. He became like a skeleton. Those who have seen the photograph taken after his passing away can hardly recognize Sri Ramakrishna by seeing his earlier photographs. Now, he was in that condition, hardly able to move, etc. Then, one day, a disciple of his Swami, Turiyananda, Bhavishya in future, his name was Hari, he came to Sri Ramakrishna, and Sri Ramakrishna perhaps wanted to test him and said, look, how much I am suffering. Hari Maharaj said, no sir, I see you swimming in the ocean of bliss. Sri Ramakrishna immediately laughed out and said, this rascal found me out. So for ordinary ignorant eyes like us, Sri Ramakrishna was really suffering. But for enlightened eyes like Swami Turiyananda, who was he? Brahman. What was the disease? Brahman. What was the suffering? Brahman. If a person is suffering from a disease called Brahman, will he be joyful or unjoyful? Now you will have to think over it and come to your own conclusion. And if any one of you think that it is suffering, then you will have to think twice, thrice, any number of times. Because God's nature is Sat Chit Ananda. What are those 12 yajnas? I will briefly outline. First of all, where are these yajnas described? Where do we get? In the Vedas. And how are they performed? Every sacrifice has to be performed only through hard, sincere, concentrated action. And when man knows this, that means when he is capable of converting each one of his actions into a divine sacrifice, what will be the result? What is he going to get? What will he attain? He will attain liberation. And so, what are the various forms of yajna mentioned so far? From verse 25 to verse 30, in this fourth chapter called Bhagavad Gita, are described only 12. But if you remember earlier, whether we are breathing, closing the eyelid, opening the eyelid, eating, talking, walking, whatever we are doing, every activity can be converted into a sacrifice. Here, as a sample, 12 sacrifices have been described. What are these? First, it is called Daiva Yajna, worshipping different forms of gods and goddesses. Brahma Yajna, meaning converting every activity thinking it is Brahman. Then, sense control is another type of sacrifice. Then, rejection of sense objects or merging their activities into self-control is another. Then mind control is another sacrifice. Then whatever materials a person possesses, wealth, etc., that is called material sacrifice. If a person performs special type of austerities for the sake of God, for the sake of God's manifestation, which is the world, that is called austerity sacrifice. Then if a person is practicing any limb of the yoga, such as yama, niyama, etc., that is called yoga yajna. Then if he is studying some scripture for the sake of advancing, progressing in spiritual life, that is called swadhyaya yajna. The word swadhyaya, as we discussed earlier, has two meanings. Study of scriptures with the idea that they are absolute truth, with sincerity, with complete self-control, and with complete self-discipline, regularly, with the greatest amount of joy, that is called swadhyaya yajna. The second meaning of swadhyaya is swa-adhyaya, studying one's own mind, finding out where the weaknesses lie, where the strengths lie, strengthening the virtues, over trying to overcome the defects, weaknesses, vices. These both fall under this category of swadhyaya sacrifice. Then jnana yajna. Everything is perceived with the vision of knowledge. What knowledge? Everything is God. I'll give one quotation from the Avatara Stotram. In the fourth line of this Avatara Stotram, Swami Vivekananda said, Jnana Anjana Vimala Nayana Vikshane Moha Jaya. When Sri Ramakrishna looks at us, he always looks us with the collyrium of knowledge. That means he puts a special type of lenses on his eyes, whereby he sees nothing but God. I hope you remember when Arjuna requested Bhagavan Krishna. That comes in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Whatever you said, O Lord, I know it is absolute truth, but I want to experience. And Bhagavan Krishna says, you cannot experience me as a divine unless I give you special chakshu, divya chakshu. I am granting you. And then of course when he granted, he saw the whole drama, but in a very frightening sense, so he could not retain it. But what he saw was the divinity in the form of the world, especially in the form of three activities, creation, preservation and destruction. We have no problem with creation and preservation. We have terrible problem with destruction. So Arjuna, on the battlefield, he saw the horrible death in a most excruciating, painful manner. That's why he could not stand it. This is called jnana yajna, putting on the collyrium or specs of knowledge. What is it? The killer is also God. The killed is also God. The act of killing is also God. The act of killing in a torturing manner is also a sacrifice, and God is doing sacrificing himself. This idea, perhaps we can discuss at some other point. There is a beautiful stotram. It is called Sukta. It is called Purusha Sukta. There it is said, God sacrificed himself in order to become this world. In other words, God himself is appearing with names and forms as this world, as I, as you, as everybody, as everything in this world. This special way of Converting ordinary experience into a spiritual experience is called jnana yajna. There are some people who believe in pranayama, control of the breath. That is another type of sacrifice, provided they do it not running after some special powers, etc., but with the idea of realizing God through control of the mind. Then some people do the sacrifice through the control of food, niyata ahara. They take the vow, I will take only this much food, and only maybe once, maybe twice, but only this much, and they will never deviate in their whole life from that. These are just 12 samples of how we can convert any activity of ours into sacrifice. And to extend this idea, I will give you one or two examples. One day, Sri Ramakrishna was sat down for eating food, and he was surrounded by 7, 8 or 9 items. And a devotee was serving, a lady devotee. And she thought, in her mind, this wicked thought had come. Wicked thought should not come in the minds of devotees, especially when they are serving sadhus and even offering to Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, etc. We don't think usually wicked thoughts about them because we are frightened of them. Not because we are ashamed of them, but because they get angry, we will lose everything. But when there are some devotees, when they are feeding the swamis, and maybe some swami liked a particular dish, and he is eating it again and again, if there is a chance, possibility, the doubt will come in the mind of the devotee, Swami is okay, but he is greedy. He is eating greedily, and he should have better control than people like us. And if the devotee is feeding the sadhu with that kind of mentality, then that not only that person will not get good result, on the other hand, he will go down spiritually. Once you decided to entertain somebody, how should you treat him? Matru Devo Bhava, Pitru Devo Bhava, Acharya Devo Bhava, Atithi Devo Bhava, Sadhu Devo Bhava, Daridra Devo Bhava, Rogi Devo Bhava. That should be the attitude. By the way, these were the mantras coined by Swami Vivekananda, Daridra Narayana, Dina Narayana, etc. They are Narayanas. Shivajnane Jiva Shiva. So, this devotee was watching. Sri Ramakrishna was about to give, but this wicked thought, unenlightened thought, undesirable thought entered into the mind of the lady devotee, and Sri Ramakrishna likes to enjoy, not understanding where was his mind, and then two things have happened. In one incident, he took the food in his hand and about to put it in his mouth, suddenly this lady saw a snake came out of his mouth, snatched the food and went back. Sri Ramakrishna was looking smilingly, and the devotee understood that Sri Ramakrishna was not eating, he was offering it as a yajna to the fire within him. What is that fire called? It is called Vaishvanara Agni. Aham Vaishvanaro Bhutva Praninam Deham Ashritaha Pranapana Samayuktaha Pachamyannam Chaturvidham. Another time, one of his would-be monastic disciples also was entertaining such a thought. Then Sri Ramakrishna told him, look, the natural tendency of my mind is to merge itself in nirvikalpa samadhi. The moment I let the mind go, straight it will go and merge in nirvikalpa samadhi. Which means that it is very difficult for such a mind to come down and do any good for the world. Therefore, he said, I cherish lot of desires. I want to eat supta, I want to eat this tithil, I want to eat that food, and with the help of that desires like hooks, I try to keep my mind down. And if you remember the example of Holy Mother, after Sri Ramakrishna's passing away, Holy Mother felt such a person has departed. What is the point of my living a life on this world? And one day, she was thinking like that. Suddenly she had a vision of a baby girl walking, trying to crawl, crying, nobody to take care of her. Holy Mother saw. Sri Ramakrishna commanded her, "You take care of this baby and she will keep your mind down." This was a vision that happened. And you know, there was a relative called Radhu, Holy Mother's brother's daughter. Abhay Charan was his name. He passed away and his wife was Radhu. And Radhu became mad and she gave birth after some months to this girl. And then one day the mother was walking and the girl was following, crying to follow the mother. And the mother was not caring for her. And Holy Mother saw this physical scene. She ran, picked up the baby. And then Sri Ramakrishna again appeared and said, "This is that baby. You hold on to this baby. And with the help of this baby, your mind will come back." We can also remember that in the last days of Holy Mother, when mother was withdrawing her mind, Sharat Maharaj told the attendants of Holy Mother that, "You see, to bring the Radhu's son to Holy Mother, if by that the mind of the Holy Mother can remain on this earth." As soon as they have done that, Holy Mother said very harshly, "I have removed my attachment from this youth. Throw her out. Ask Radhu. I don't like to see her and any one of her children. Let them go to Jairam Bhati." Then Sharat Maharaj heard it. He exclaimed, "There is no way to keep mother alive now. She has withdrawn her mind." Thereby we learn two lessons. The first lesson is, Holy Mother was not at all attached to anybody, which many people act to think that she was extremely attached to Radhu and her baby. Secondly, she took the help of Radhu, who is also part of the Yoga Maya, so that her mind can remain on the level like ours, so that she can also uplift all of us. These are divine mysteries. That's why in the fourth chapter, earlier we have seen, "Janma karma chame divyam, yogeti tattvatah, tyatva deham punarjanma, naiti mam eti so Arjuna." My birth, my activities, my going away from this world, everything is shrouded in a divine mystery. And he who prays to me, only he understands it by my grace. And a devotee who understands it also understands his own birth, his own activities are also divine mystery. Such a person is completely freed from the trammels of the samsara and he will become liberated and he will never again need to come back to this world. Before we conclude this, we have to recollect what we have discussed. Whole life has to be converted into a yajna. What does it mean? It means life means activity. And life goes through three types of activities in every living creature, especially human beings. The waking, the dream, and the deep sleep. And whatever happens in these three states is an activity. Every activity requires these five elements. The doer and the object and that which is being done and the action of doing it and the result that is obtained from this. If we can replace the subject, object, the offering, the activity and the result, replace with the idea, Brahman is the subject, Brahman is the object, Brahman is the offering, Brahman is the act of offering, and Brahman is the result. If we can somehow, through long spiritual practice, connect these five with God, then such a person attains to the ultimate knowledge that everything is God, I am also God, and not I am also God, everything is also is a God, there is only nothing but Brahman. And to elaborate this idea of sacrifice, Bhagavan Krishna gives, as I said, 12 examples. And again, as I remark, These are only just few examples. Any activity can be converted into a sacrifice, including the activity of getting angry, the activity of killing people, the activity of doing what the world calls an abominable, cruel act, provided that it is done as a sacrifice for the good of the world and with greatest love. For example, Arjuna was asked to fight. Indirectly, what it means? That you kill as many people as possible, and that would be the greatest sacrifice, and through that you will get liberation. Only if you do it as a sacrifice unto God, a yajna unto God. In how many ways we can convert our activities into this, we will have to think and say, what are the activities I am doing? For example, I am getting up early in the morning, and I am brushing my teeth, I am taking my tea or breakfast, I am going to the office, I am interacting with my bosses or colleagues, I am coming back home, and I probably entertain myself, and I eat food again, and I go to sleep. From waking to going to sleep, and from birth to death, if we can convert any activity, converting means related to God, and say only God is doing through this instrumentality, I am absent. That becomes the highest spiritual practice called yajna. Through that yajna, what is the result? I will become liberated. Whatever sadhana, whatever religion people follow, whatever yoga people follow, ultimately it all boils down to this idea, everything is a yajna, sacrifice, by God, in God, to God, and everything is nothing but God. We will briefly explore the other 12 things because we have understood the essential points, and then we will proceed further in our next class. Om Vasudevasutam Devam Kamsachano Ramardhanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagadgurum.